Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I would invite you to get your Bible if you can and follow along as we turn to the Scriptures and go through our Bible study. Or if you prefer, you could get you a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and jot down the Scriptures that we go over. And after the broadcast, maybe you can go back and read those Scriptures and study it. If you have questions about the things that you hear here on the broadcast, we'd be glad to hear from you either by letter or by mail. The information that you would need for that will be given to you at the end of the broadcast. And I'd also invite you to come be with us at Grace Bible Church. The times of the services will be given to you, and we would love to have you. We're a church that centers around teaching the Bible. We would love to have you come and visit with us. And as I said, if you have any questions or comments about the broadcast, I would love to hear from you, whether they are negative or positive. I would like to hear from those of you that are listening to the broadcast. We've been talking about for several weeks about the revelation of the Apostle Paul. And we want to continue that line of thought today as we think about the things that were revealed through Paul. You know, the Bible says we are to rightly divide the word of truth. And to rightly divide the word of truth means to distinguish the doctrine written to us, the members of the body of Christ, from the rest of the doctrine of the Bible. Paul wrote 13 epistles, and they begin with Romans and they go through Philemon. And in Paul's revelation, we find some very distinctive truths that we don't find anywhere else. And what we want to do today is we want to look at one of those truths, and it has to do with righteousness. Righteousness is a very important subject in the Bible, and I want us to consider what Paul says about righteousness. We've looked at what Paul said about the cross, what he said about who can be saved and what it takes to be saved, and about his own apostleship. And so today, I want to talk to you about Paul's revelation concerning righteousness. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 1, Paul writing to the Philippians says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Now notice in the verses following that if anybody had a reason to have confidence in the flesh, Paul would have. He said, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Now notice verse 9. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now, if you look up the word righteous in the dictionary, it will say a state that conforms to an authoritative standard. And so what I want to talk to you about today is what Paul says about righteousness. In the passage that we just read, we see really that there are three righteousnesses talked about. Number one, Paul talks about his own righteousness, that is, self-righteousness. He talks about the righteousness which is of the law, and he talks about the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ. Now, the righteousness which is of the law had to do with the fact that the law was given to Moses. Matter of fact, let's look back in Deuteronomy. Well, first of all, I want you to read in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 6, the Bible says there, verse 5, "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God," notice, "walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Now, that will tie back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to notice what the Bible says about the law in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 24, the Bible says, "The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 10, in verse 12, the Bible says, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord and thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Now, I've got a chart up here that we've looked at each week, and I want you to notice the way that it's laid out. In the Old Testament deals primarily with the giving of the law to the nation Israel. It is the whole Old Testament is about God's chosen people. Well, in Exodus, the law was given to Moses, and so that law was to govern the life of the nation Israel. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find that that law is still in effect, as we read there in Luke chapter 1. They were righteous before God because they walked in the law. And then Jesus Christ dies at the cross, and we find that even in the early part of Acts, that the law is still in effect. As a matter of fact, as far over as Acts chapter 20, it's talking about the preaching of those apostles there in the early part of Acts. And it said there were thousands of Jews which believed, and they were all zealous of the law. But when Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9, it is revealed to the apostle Paul that God has taken the law out of the way. And so in the 13 epistles that he writes to us concerning righteousness in this present dispensation, that is the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, I want you to notice some things about this as we go through the study today. First of all, as I mentioned, there is the righteousness of the law. In Romans chapter 2, we read concerning there the righteousness of the law. And Paul says in Romans 2, verse 26, "Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision?" And then in Deuteronomy 6, where we read just a moment ago, he said, "This shall be our righteousness." So there is the righteousness that is associated with the keeping of the law. There is the man's own righteousness. The book of Isaiah talks about that. The Bible says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But the righteousness that is most important is the righteousness that comes by the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's the righteousness that Paul reveals in his epistles, and that's what I want the focus today to be, the righteousness of God. Notice in Romans chapter 10, that that righteousness of God comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness." Now that's what we want to talk about. And we want to look at God's righteousness. You see, your righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. Paul said, "I want to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness of God." And so he said that the Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness. And because of that, they were going about to establish their own righteousness. How were they doing that? By the law. By their own rules and regulations. They said, if you do this, then you're righteous. If you don't do this, you're not righteous. They were ignorant of God's righteousness. And you know, the sad truth today is that most people today are ignorant of God's righteousness. And therefore, they're going about to establish their own righteousness. Through religion. Through the works of the law. Through the deeds of the flesh. Paul said they're ignorant of God's righteousness, and they're going about to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now notice, he said, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth." Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Back in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, he said, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Well, how is the righteousness of God manifested today? That's what we want to try to do in this broadcast. I want to make known to you, I want to manifest unto you the righteousness of God. Look back in Romans chapter 1. in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, "Therefore I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So the righteousness of God is revealed. Well, how is it revealed? It is revealed by the preaching of the gospel. He said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Then if we want to know how the righteousness of God is revealed, we've got to know what that gospel is. Well, let's read it. We usually quote it on the broadcast, but let's read it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." You see, back up in verse 20, or verse 1, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Paul said his ministry in Acts chapter 20 was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Peter and the other apostles had preached the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus Christ had preached the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus Christ told them, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." But when Paul came forth, he came forth preaching the gospel of the grace of God, and he said that gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. And he says that in that gospel, in Romans 1:17, "For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." You see, over in Romans chapter 5, we find out how that gospel, or how that righteousness is revealed. It's revealed because it's revealed unto us that God is right in His dealings with man, in that even though we were born in sin and we had nothing to do with that, God fixed it so that we can be saved. Just like we were born in sin, we had nothing to do with that. We can be saved without any works of our flesh. Notice in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now notice in verse 18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one," that is Adam. Back there in the garden, Adam sinned. He partook of the fruit with his wife, and they sinned. And the Bible said, "As by the offense of one," that is Adam, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation." So man's attitude is, well, listen, God is an unjust God. If I'm born a sinner and don't have anything to do with that, how is it God could ever condemn me? Well, notice what it says. It said, "As by one man's offense, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." You see, man lost his righteousness in the fall. When Adam died there spiritually, Adam was separated from God and he lost his righteousness. But when Jesus Christ came, the Bible said that Jesus Christ is righteous. And the Bible says that as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one. You see, it's not by your righteousness that the free gift came. You don't have any righteousness. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It's by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Christ, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So how is the righteousness of God revealed? It's revealed through the preaching of the gospel, through the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He was raised again the third day. Righteousness, the righteousness of God, it's manifested, and it is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Back there in Romans chapter 3, where we read a moment ago, verse 22, it said, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. You see, the good news today is that God will count you righteous simply based on what you believe. Now, that's not what you'll generally hear in religion. People are taught today that their righteousness is based upon their works. But you are counted righteous based on what somebody else did in your behalf. Righteousness is imputed to all those that believe. Righteousness is a gift. There in Romans chapter 5, it says in verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So the righteousness of God is manifested. It's manifested by faith. It's through faith in His blood. According to Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it said, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness." His righteousness. That's the issue. And then, as we read there in Romans chapter 10, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Not those that work. As a matter of fact, over in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." You see, that's the greatest news that you could ever share with anybody if you're a saved individual, is that God Almighty will save you and count you righteous based on not what you do, but on what you believe. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you trust Him as your Savior, God will count you as righteous. You'll have an imputed righteousness. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you'll be made righteous, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So there's the imputed righteousness, and there's the fact that we are made righteous. In Romans chapter 4, verse 5, we just read there, Romans chapter 4, verse 6, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." And then down in verse 8, "Cometh this blessedness in upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness." The righteousness of God is a free gift. The fact is that God made us righteous in His Son. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 21, a verse that we use quite frequently here on the study, on the broadcast, the Bible says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You know, there's an incredible thing that happened when Christ died on that cross. God, as it were, looked down through time and saw the sin of all mankind. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross, the Bible said, God made Him to be sin for us. Jesus Christ emptied Himself of His righteousness. And He took upon Him our sin. And He died for that sin. He became that sin. And God allowed Him to die. God poured out His wrath on Him, as it were. He turned His back on Him so that Christ had to cry out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And when Jesus Christ dies on that cross, having been made sin, the Bible says that He did that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. For every person that has believed the gospel and trusted Jesus Christ, God has made them righteous. You say, "Well, I don't feel righteous. I don't act righteous. I don't look righteous." Well, it doesn't have anything to do with your flesh. You've been made righteous spiritually. Now, you are to reckon that unto your flesh, and you're to live that out in your flesh. But what you do in your flesh is not going to affect that which you believe as far as salvation is concerned. Salvation is by grace through faith. And you have the righteousness of God by faith. In Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, in verse 4, the Bible says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joining, beholding your order, and steadfast of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." You're to walk in the righteousness that you've already been, that's already been imputed to you, that's already yours. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, "And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." He took our sins, he took the law, he took it all out of the way at the cross when he died for our sins. This righteousness is a free gift. And because of that righteousness, we have hope. Look in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5, verse 4 says, "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Righteousness is imputed. Righteousness is a free gift. Righteousness is available to all those who will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Look in Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3, Titus 3, keep in mind that in the beginning of the lesson here, we talked about the righteousness of the law. The righteousness of the law had to do with keeping the law. It had to do with observing the law. God laid out a whole list of laws. Not only the Ten Commandments, but he had the statutes, the judgments, literally hundreds of laws. That was the measuring stick for the nation Israel. He said, if you'll do this, if you'll do that, it shall be your righteousness. And so Israel was under a performance system. They kept the law. If they didn't keep the law, there was a blood sacrifice that they could bring, and they could offer that sacrifice. And God would accept that sacrifice offered as an atonement for their sins. But when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he became our sacrifice. And because he died there, we now have righteousness imputed to us by faith. In Titus chapter 3, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." You see the difference there? He said to Israel, he said, if you do this, it shall be your righteousness. Paul said concerning you and I today in the dispensation of grace, he said, it's not by works of righteousness. Listen, my friend, there is nothing that you can do in your flesh that will make you acceptable to God. Now, there are some things that you need to do in your flesh as a saved individual that will bring about a reward in eternity. But there is nothing you can do in your flesh that will bring about your salvation. Why? Because we've already read over there in Romans chapter 5 where righteousness is a free gift. It's a part of salvation. You know, salvation, I speak of it at times as being a package deal. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible says here in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." You see, Ephesians chapter 2, where I was quoting there a moment ago, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved." The verses before that talk about the fact that we were dead in trespasses and sins. But verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." Did you notice that? "But God, who is rich in mercy," he says, "wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You see, the revelation of the Apostle Paul that we find in Romans through Philemon reveals so much truth that we find nowhere else. It shows us what we were in the flesh. It shows us what we were in Adam. But it also shows us what Christ accomplished in our behalf. And what He did was He reversed that which Adam did in the garden. Adam lost his righteousness. And so Jesus Christ came, having never sinned, lived a perfect righteous life, died as a righteous man, and God took that righteousness which His Son had and gave it to us as a free gift. He gave it to all that believe, the Bible says. So the issue today, as far as righteousness is concerned, is not your works. It's not what you do in the flesh. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And you know, I can imagine a man one day standing before the Lord, and he says, listen, Lord, here's all the good things that I did. I went to church. I tithed. I was a deacon. I taught Sunday school. I did all of these things. And he piles all that stuff up before the Lord. And when he looks back down at it, it's a pile of filthy rags. Can you imagine how that person would feel? All the good that they've done in their life. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that good, but if they're doing that good apart from being saved, then it's of no value. So what's the bottom line in all this? Righteousness is a free gift, and it's the gift of God, and it is given to all those who believe. Believe what? Believe the good news of the gospel. That is, that Christ died for our sins. You want righteousness? It's yours by accepting what Jesus Christ did at Calvary and trusting in Him. Trust nothing else. Not your works, not your baptism, not your church membership. Trust in the fact that Jesus Christ hung on that cross, became your sin. And when you trust Him, accept Him as your Savior, and you'll be made righteous before God Almighty.
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.